hand over to the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. Maybe before, ladies and gentlemen, you respond, I must say this from the chair. By now, you should have heard how members appreciate your report. Others are of the view that your existence is a bit of a waste of time. You're not adding any value. So they say a department should have its own auditing section. Now, which must deal with the work. Because if you are auditing the department, you must be honest with it. Whether you are auditing or what, but it's your work. So which means that then would make your work, you see, a problem. But there's also a part from the input of members that says your reporting, you must avoid your reporting to look like the internal audit. It must be too, avoid being too diplomatic. Avoid being a praise singer for a department. Because you compromise yourself. This is what you have done, to be honest. From where I sit, you have almost compromised yourself. Because you try to see good where there's bad. It's like you're living in another world. As to why you're doing this, you're compromising. Now, everybody has this comment, you may end up saying, we're not getting a value then for you, because you are a place singer. Now, for your own information, these members are having PCOs everywhere. They also have relatives everywhere. They attend meetings everywhere. They see things. But also, small business people know them. They phone them. They cry on them. Even municipalities do the same. Now, if a department that its work is to assist the parliamentarians to have more good resolutions on how things must be done, is doing what you are doing, it's not very good. I hope the Auditor General's office is still listening as well, because you are an important body, but you are respected as per what you deliver. The moment you want praises in department, then you won't get praises from some of us, because we respect our communities more. We understand why we are here. So your report must be scathing. You must tell it as it is. We go out, you are a committee that is not very fortunate in being allowed to go out quicker. We have not gone overseas for the last 14 years. Whereas other portfolio committees are overseas almost every year. So we are also struggling even to visit provinces. It may be our own making as well, the administration, because we can't just go out if we are not also making applications. So, but the few oversight visits we have made has exposed a lot of things. We have had an oversight here in Western Cape visiting small harbors. We have seen a lot of issues which you guys should look into. Because this report does not really talk to things that affect our communities. Also, there's too much moving with the wind, which means the new government, new entities, that must protect, must force the constitution to be respected, which the constitution says we must reverse the imbalances of the past. When you go out, whether it's in small harbors, whether it's in construction, the imbalances of the past are not reversed. Those that were enjoying the benefit of economy in the apartheid days are enjoying more now. Now your report doesn't say anything about the lack of transformation, which compromises the majority of South Africans. So you can't be quiet. You can't think God will say it, not you. Remember, we are also representatives of God, including yourself. God think even the masses of the people, the majority of the people who are marginalized, still, economically speaking, are God's people. So we expect the department to really check us up, make the portfolio committee members to see those things. Don't be nice. You know, it can't be. It's not helpful that the majority of South Africans are still spectators when they establish contractors. They are not really assisted, they are not paid. And you write a report that they are paid. The last visit by this committee was around maybe 7 months ago in Eastern Cape. We found in Umtata, in a place called the Trendule, a top of the arch clinic with lots of equipment, but is not open to the community. And the community needs it, because it's poor people are sick easily. They need the access to that, the benefit of that clinic. But for more than a year, that clinic is not open. Is that an example of how this department and the entities are compromising the community? And you see nothing. But when we go out, we say, it's not, why is it not open? Because the contractor was not paid. So the contractor said, you won't open it, I keep the keys. All the keys, I'm keeping. Until you pay me. Now for a year. I would understand if it was paid, maybe they were struggling for 3 months. Now more than a year. I said it is truly. It's an example. They are much, I think they are likely to be more. They are likely to be more. How many times have I reported on this matter? Yeah. You guys just keep quiet, think guys. Yo, I'm Kratanya. You tell me a pena. I can't wait, I'll be around. I've been here. From when or no, I don't go. If I go here, I'll invest elsewhere. Remember? So, in the community, so I've been around. From when I was 17 years, I was leading anyway. Even during apartheid, I fought apartheid. That's why I'm still fighting it now, the legacy of it. Now, why do you allow apartheid to triumph this way? Quietly. No, we must make noise. Say, this is wrong. Now, there's another point. Besides that clinic, which the contractor is not paid. Which is an example. There are many that are not paid. Yeah? They are phoning every day. Now, you have valuable and good properties of the public works that are not utilized by anybody in South Africa. We have poor people who want to utilize these assets. They are not utilized. You guys are not making noise about all these things. Just here in Cape Town, there's a township called it's in with 89 beautiful houses. They are renovated regularly by the department. They are given to contractors, no? I don't know. They are contractors that just go and renovate. But there's nobody staying there. 89 posh houses in a country that has so many people who need houses. So you guys don't see all these things. You want us to take you serious? Yeah? So I'm just giving you examples. please, your report must earn you respect. Otherwise, we'll end up agreeing with Dr. Fink, with Dr. Rader. Oh, no, Dr. Rader is scared of going to school. So that you are not really helping. So department must have their own auditors anyway. So without you, so we'll end up then recommending that we deal without you. So you must fight for your existence. It will benefit the people of South Africa. Now you're fighting your support and the from the department side. So please improve. Your report can do more than it has done. It is very appreciated by many members. They appreciate it. Many members appreciate it. But there are visible areas of patronizing the department. And that's what I don't like. Don't like officials who are looking for appointment in the department when they are supposed to be to work where you are. Whether you are appointed or not, work where you are. So please, I think you will improve on areas. What you report, you see, remember, you know government regulations. If people are not doing what they are supposed to be doing, so you should recommend consequence management. It must come out in your report. Why are you afraid to say so? Because you are learned. Dr. Mandoba said you are learned. And she says things politicians are not, and yet she's a doctor. She's reading all the time.
No, I'm the doctor from the University of African National Congress.
Okay. So, but Honorable Patricia Adams was taking you through the modern technology. She argued with you based on the modern tech. Can you see the extent of how capacitated are these? Look at her. She looked like not very young, but you can see she's in a modern situation. She can argue with you using the modern technology that you are not engaging in. Like, you take what you are given. You are too innocent. You're like a 14-year-old. No, you take what you give them. You're not engaging. And yet, what she read, engage them. They must feel you. Don't be nice. Even if you plan to get jobs from them, but don't make us see that. So we must not see that that's your intention. So please, I hope you understand. It does not leave you, Auditor General, out of this picture.
We shall be dissolved.
My input, you are important bodies. Many members respect you, but you must end your existence. Your report must make people to be scared. It should be like Malema speaking in ANC funerals. You must make people shook. Your report. Otherwise, if your report is not like a preacher, you know, a preacher is telling us things that he said last week, every week they repeat, but no, don't worry, there are many houses in heaven. So don't repeat like that. Be took us. You can now respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Actually, when I was going through the slides, I actually thought we were a little bit too harsh. So now you are saying to me, you are not harsh enough. We must be more bold. Honorable Chair, I mean, I think the reflection of what we are trying to do, if I may say so, is we provide a critical analysis, and I just want to dispel that we are not, there are views that we are postbox. You know, so a postbox is just to receive the information and then we send it out again, right? So we are not doing that. We are actually doing a lot of recommendations that we have not put in here, partly because we are still in the process of discussing some of the consequences and recommendations in relation to that. but I will add that in response to each and every one of them. But I think Honorable Adams' point started off quite nicely when she said and defined what is monitoring and evaluation. And monitoring and evaluation is very distinct to internal or auditing.
Yeah.
And so whether there's a department or not, we still require monitoring and evaluation, right? And so I think, Honorable Fick, I think that's your point that you make. It's not about whether we're there or not. You have to, so when we adopted the outcome systems in 2009, I think there's still lots of questions as to whether it's effective or not, whether it's been able to do the job, whether it's the situation of DPME is where it is. I know, of course, that there is a discussion within government, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, on the macro organization of the state. So I think that all of us are taking into account exactly what Honorable Members are saying to improve effectiveness of delivery, because that's what it's about. It's about enabling and creating an enabling environment, including support to departments where there are challenges in delivery of what their mandates are. And I think this is the important thing about monitoring and evaluation. And it's a full circle. So you set a target, you implement, you report against that, you independently monitor and evaluate it on that, there are recommendations, you take corrective action. So that circle always is not necessarily always completed, but you want to ensure that you have the systems in place to have it. So I thought, Honorable Chair, yes, I accept your criticism that we need to be much more bold and stronger, we need to earn that. Certainly will, and I hope in the responses that we provide here and in the written responses where we are unable to provide you right now, that we do earn our place in providing an independent assessment of the delivery of the department. And where there's positive stuff, Honorable Chair, we have to say positive stuff, because that's an important encouragement where we have a partnership with the department to say, actually, you've done well here, right? But you've done badly over here too. You know, so I think it's partly to kind of find that balance that allows us to reflect positive, but also say these are the criticisms that we have, and these are the recommendations that we work, including the system. So, as far as possible, Honorable Chair, I'll try and go through the comments, the questions, not the comments, because I think a lot of, for example, Honorable Fick was useful comments. I agree on the. I think that Honorable Fick, I mean, in the National Development Plan and in the MTSF, they're supposed to report FTE and work opportunities. So I think it's just consistent that you try and do that. So you try and measure what the full-time equivalents are. You know, so it's as if someone was employed. So I agree with you. I mean, I think it's useful to report both. It's important to report the work opportunities because you need to count the numbers where you created that. But what does it mean for full-time employment? So I agree on that point. I'm unable to give you the percentage figures on the training. We will note it down and provide you a written response, Honorable Chair, on the number of the work opportunities of people that have been trained. I don't want to make assumptions. Dr. Madlope, Honorable Member, yes, I mean, when we developed the National Development Plan, and remember the National Development Plan was a vision for 2030, so we want to be in 2030. And what we then did was to cascade that into different periods, right? And that's aligned to the five-year cycle of government. And so what we did was to take the NDP and break it down into five-year chunks. And so, of course, what happened was it cascaded into specific interventions, cascaded into what is referred to as the medium-term strategic framework, the MTSS. So that's where the NDP is. And I just want to emphasize that we've not decided to take anything else except word for word from the National Development Plan into the medium-term strategic framework over the 5 years and break it down per quarter and per year in relation to what has to happen. So that's how we've cascaded the National Development Plan in relation to that, okay? And yes, we are following the alignment. So it's very, very important that you distinguish between performance and the technical alignment, because that's very, very important. Now, what we did find, and again, not specifically with this department, but in other departments, they don't take where it's clear that the department has to fulfill that particular action. They change the wording, right? So it becomes watered down, right? And that's very, very important that the wording must be precise, because the AG is very particular about that in the last few years. That they look at the National Development Plan, they look at the medium-term strategic framework, and they look at the APP. And if the wording is inconsistent in alignment, they then flag it and say, no, this is not right. So yes, for us, the exercise is very important to ensure that what is intended in the MTSF or the NDP is what is reflected in APP. So we do spend a lot of time of ensuring that alignment is done. I know honourable members raised quite a bit of concern on the invoices, so I'm just responding to that. Now, what we report here, he says that it is noted that the department has reported to be performing fairly well. It's reported to be performing fairly well on the percentages. It doesn't necessarily say that it's met its 30-day obligation payments. What we will do, now we verify this in two ways, honourable members. We verify firstly with what is reported by the department, and secondly what is reported to National Treasury and the OCPO. So we check that, because we have a 30-day unit in DPME that specifically can indicate exactly the number of invoices, the amount, and which departments, and in which sector those things are. So I would want to make a commitment here, rather that I think the wording may be misconstrued, Your Honourable Chair. Right? But I would rather want to make a commitment here that our unit provides you information in the same way that I do on the exact number of invoices paid within 30 days and the exact number of invoices and the value of those invoices not paid in 30 days, if that's okay with the Honourable Chair. So it may be one or two, but the indicator says fairly well. Right? So I think it's very important that we understand that and that we do that. So I'm not saying that we need to check exactly the number of invoices, and we can provide that information and the value of that within 30 days. And remember, it's reported at a particular period of time, so the next period may be very different, right? And I think that's very, very important. So what are the key reasons for what 30 days are not paid? Now, we try to do an assessment of this quite extensively, and we do it all the time to get a sense of it. But over and above, honorable members, what is the key reason of not being paid that's been identified and explained to us by the department is the incorrect information on the invoices. So when an invoice is submitted, it doesn't, for example, compare accurately when the company is registered. So, for example, banking details are sometimes wrong. The invoice addresses are sometimes wrong. The company that is doing this is different to the bidding company. The names are different. So you have a lot of these particular queries where the invoices are submitted, the process starts well within 30 days, and there are queries and follow-ups. And these are the reasons that are provided. Outside of the reasons that simply people are just inefficient of doing it, right? So they just don't do it within 30 days because they sit to the long list and they stick to the hours and they simply just, you know what, I'll push through as much as I can for today, right? And whoever is not done today is not done. So there's efficiencies, and we need to deal with the consequences of that. So largely there is the issue of wrong information. We have strongly recommended over many, many years of doing this that there are significant consequence management. Honorable Chair, we've even recommended specific disciplinary and dismissals and we've categorized them. So we've made those recommendations very, very clear. We've not said it over here, Honorable Chair. But we've made that recommendations to cabinets, to different departments, that where there are clear, flagrant disregard to paying, not where there are genuine reasons for not paying, where the invoice is misaligned with the bid documents, right? That the officials must be disciplined. Honorable Chair, we've made that very, very clear. We continue to do that as the department, and we say that. So unfortunately, it's not us. DPME can't go and discipline Honorable Matlope if she's working in DPME. You know, it has to be the accounting officer who has to do that. So we make a recommendation for that. Now, I just wanted to talk about the consequence management. Now, Honorable Chair, you know that the budget mandate paper where we align the ruling party with the National Development Plan on what is the priorities of what government has to do is the DPME responsibility. That's quite a powerful responsibility, because we're now using the National Development Plan to set priorities of how funding must be allocated. In that mandate paper, Honorable Chair, and it's on the website, again I will make the 2017, 18 mandate paper available. We 19 mandate paper available. We're in the process of developing the 1920 mandate paper. We have made a number of recommendations around consequences, which is discipline. But we've also beginning to say that if you underspend, if you don't meet the targets, then you must question your budget allocation. So we must actually go to the heart of the problem and say, well, if you're not doing your performance and compliant, then clearly we need to look at whether your budget allocation must be affected. Now, there's a discussion amongst, of course, Director Generals whether that's fair or not. But the point is that if you're not able to meet the most basic requirements of technically sound areas that you need to do, including performance, then why do you need why must we allocate you additional money or budgets? So we started to raise that debate in the mandate paper by monitoring spend and performance, so linking spend and performance, including whether you have taken recommendations of actually evaluations that have been conducted. Because we do evaluations with the department, honorable members. And those evaluations have clear recommendations of what needs to happen. There are also budget assessments that are done by National Treasury, right? Including recommendations by the Auditor General. So we're actually going to take the Auditor General report, also we've indicated this in the budget amendment paper, that if the AG recommendations are not complied to, in terms of ensuring compliance by the AG standards, we will also talk about whether your budgets should be cut or not. So let's be honest, that's exactly the discussion, it's about whether your budgets are cut or not. Because if you don't comply, how do you then ensure that the allocations that we provide to you are spent adequately to meet the mandates that you... So that debate are happening. We've not put it in here. It's a discussion that is continuing, Honorable Chairperson. And I think that we've in a large degree made a lot of recommendations around consequences and discipline. Honorable Madlope, your comments on expenditure is correct. I think this is very, very important. We need to have I think your comments are just perfect. Tackling against outcomes, does it meet, is it value for money, right? It's not about supporting the program, but does it meet the value for money and has a significant impact? The DORA requirements again. I mean, the point about how we need to support intergovernmental relations is providing recommendations and providing technical capacity. So in instances, it's not a mandate to provide technical capacity at DPME, but we do that. We do sit with individual departments. So for instance, where there are delinquencies in departments, we actually have what we refer to as, the performance dialogues. So we have what is referred to as performance dialogues, where we take this information, Honorable Chair, and we present it to the departments. And we have a discussion one-on-one, which is chaired by DGs and the officials that are there. And we have an honest discussion and say, colleagues, this is a performance dialogue. We want to help you to improve performance. Right? What are you recommending to be able to do? Now, unfortunately, we're not... performance dialogue. We didn't think we were supposed to. Unfortunately, we've not been able to schedule a performance dialogue, right? That's not because of DPW's responsibility. It's just that I think it takes quite a bit of time, but it has helped, for example, with departments. So let me just say, the Department of Small Business Development, if I may just use that as an example, there was quite a significant number of challenges. We've had two or three performance dialogue discussions with them, and it's helped improve performance to be able to deal with some of the areas of challenges. The targets in the fourth quarter, Honorable Madlope, just the last comment that you made afterwards. Yes, it can be acceptable, and the reason why is that it's not numerical necessarily. So you may want to talk about the amendments to an act, right? And it takes a bit of process. It's not quantitative. It's not a value. You just have to do the amendments to the act. So it may take a bit of time, so you don't have any quarterly. You may have quarterly updates, but the completion of it is done in the fourth quarter. So there are instances where it's acceptable to report on something that is not, in a sense, numerically assigned to do that. Honorable Ryder, yes, the role of DPME, yes, it's we're finding that space and niche more and more. Remember, the system of outcomes is new. It's only been here since 2009. I think that we've in a sense your point is exactly that. Your point is that it requires for us to have teeth to be able to do this. But remember, we are not accounting officers for the entire government system. We simply make recommendations based on our evaluation and assessments of whether there's performance or not. But there are other structures, like yourself, for example, who have to have the teeth also to be able to say, based on the information that the DPNE, AG, or any other individual organizations have provided, was required. We are using the budget mandate paper, and I'm just saying that as an example, to be able to give effect much more, including consequences and disciplinary, to be able to deal with that. So, again, if there are particular incidents where there's just a flagrant disregard for the rules and for ensuring that reports and for not meeting targets, then there's consequences. There must be consequences. The officials or the accounting officer must be called into book. And this is what we're encouraging more and more. Answer as to why you don't do this, right? And I think this is very, very important for us as we go along. The DPW fixing on the EPWP, it's a big discussion that the portfolio committee has made. We have made a number of recommendations. We tried engaging with the AG, including on how we cut, right, and the requirements. And the AG has been quite strict on ensuring that the requirements for registering one person is compliant with an ID, with a proof of address, right? And this has been a real difficult thing. I think the department, because we've had discussions with the department on more than four or five occasions, on what happens when you are a coordinating department. You're not an implementing department. So you're coordinating and collecting data on behalf of entities. And I think I'm sorry, Honorable Chair, I may sound like being patronizing and supporting the department, but it is a problem for some of us who are not implementing departments, but are coordinating the information. And there are other entities who are responsible for the implementation. And that requires a bit of discussion as to how one then measures the targets or who's accountable and responsible for it. Because the DPW, and we understand that, they've said, but are you asking the same questions, AG, that you're asking the entities who are responsible? So if there's a municipality that's responsible for EPWP, are you asking and ensuring that that same criteria that you ask us is applied to them also? And, the AG should answer that. I can't answer that, right? But this is something that, again, I think it's something that DPW and other departments are having a challenge with, where you're not implementing, but you're coordinating and depending on other entities for that particular information and compliance. Honorable Kata, yes, I responded on the...
Oh, sorry.
To Sole. Was the chairperson giving you the name? I'm sorry. I just recorded the name as you were saying, and then I wonder this Qatar story. Right? Firstly, I was wondering how you spell it, because if it was Q, it was a V. You see? So now I'm saying, let me think. Maybe it's a K-H-E-T-A. Honorable Sitole, yes, I responded on 30-day assessments. We will provide you our report on the number and the values of the invoices, so you can have an engagement with it. On the contractors and the donors, it also relates to Honorable Ryder and Fiku, who mentioned this thing around why are you contacting people that are not able to deliver. Now, this relates to your point about beneficiaries who continue to benefit post-apartment. You have to recognize that there are going to be contractors who may not have the technical expertise to do some of this stuff, but required to be put into a program of supply development. Let's just use it. But this is an important thing. So you have to develop as a department systems to support emerging enterprises. You can't exclude them all the time. Because if you were strictly on just delivery of that, then you're not going to have transformation on the blockchain. You're going to have to develop a supporting mechanism that says, okay, this supply, and this is a discussion that DTI is having also, when we talk about supply development. This supplier can do the job, right? He can do the job. But you know what? He doesn't comply with these standards adequately. what do you need as a supplier to comply with these standards adequately? Can we provide this to you? That's the kind of questions that you have to ask. There are some suppliers who just can't do it at all. But there are some suppliers who can evolve into, you know, professional suppliers and do the job, but you can't exclude, and I think this is something that you have to do. So if you're going to continue just to do what you normally get in, then you're not going to get the transformation. And I think the question for the Department of Public Works is to say, what are the supporting mechanisms to ensure compliance? And asking the supplier, yes, we are supporting transformation. What do you need from us to be able to develop the capacity that you need to make sure you comply with the standards? Because in the built environment, there are standards, right? You have to comply with those standards. There's no compromise, right? So how do you ensure that that does happen? And I think this is very, very important, so we don't exclude. So we are going to have, some suppliers who are going to come along who don't necessarily meet all those requirements, but what do we do to support them? Otherwise, we'll never have transformation. Right? It's the same thing that we're demanding from big companies like, for example, autos, the auto manufacturers. We've actually demanded that they put small supply developers into programs to meet compliance. Paint, doing leather works, bolts and nuts, and all these other all these things. I know you don't agree with me on that one, Honorable Qatar, on Honorable Sitoli, on the slide 8, but I think it's important that you just read that slide. You have to read that slide because it's a very watered down. So it says percentage of reported fraud and corruption misconduct cases. It's just reporting on the percentage. There's no reason why you can't meet that target. You're just reporting on what you received. I don't know whether Honorable Chan understands it. So it's just it's not the action. It's not whether the person has been arrested or disciplined. It's whether you've reported it. So it's very, the indicator is, it doesn't talk about the actions post being reported. Right? It's just, I've reported that this person, Rudy, has a fraud or misconduct case. It doesn't talk through whether the person has been disciplined. Right? Right? It's very important that you make that distinction. Right?
Yes,
it's a process, but not the outcome. You're subjected, you can be written. Subjected means you are hereby called to a disciplinary hearing. That's subjected. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've been disciplined. Very important distinction. A subjection, subjected means you've just been called into a meeting and said, we are going to discipline you because there are allegations against you. Or make submissions as to why you couldn't be suspended. That's all subjected to a disciplinary process. So very important to distinguish between what is reported, and asking, so how many people have been disciplined? And what was the disciplinary outcome for them? Very two distinct areas, right? And I think if honorable members want to ask that.
I think you are elaborating more on something that is really not the issue. What Honorable Qatar was saying, his name is Qatar Mabana. When he walks, he doesn't just walk. He chooses where to put his foot. Ketamaba. So he is a very careful man. So the point is, your report does not reflect our experiences.
Okay.
What you have reported, that's the thing you are repeating, is that you are competent, and yet you're making us more uncomfortable.
Okay.
Withdraw. You see, because our experience, there's more problems.
Yes.
The percentage you are reporting about is a joke to us. Because people are committing murder in terms of corruption. So you, when you don't see it, engage. When the department gives you a report, engage it. Don't be easily convinced. Otherwise you are compromised yourself. So you don't see all these problems we see. I know.
Agree. I think that's comment, Honorable Adams. Yes, so the targets, The targets are largely set, but we actually engage on the targets.
Yeah.
So we actually say to them, hey, we don't agree with your targets also. Explain to us why you asked those targets. Right? Particularly on the MTSF. It was a difficult negotiations on targets that we set. But the targets are also iterative, right? So you need to ensure that they are, once you can see that there are going to be challenges of meeting the targets, that you need to explain. Right? And it's very, very important. We're very strong, Honorable Chair, of saying, what are your corrective measures? If you didn't meet the target, tell us why you didn't meet it. We don't want to hear a generic explanation, right? And we also want to know what you're going to do to be able to correct it. Because we'll continue to report it. It's not going to go away, right, to be able to deal with it. And if it continues, the delinquency continues, there are other measures that we need to do. And then it goes back to what you said. Consequence management, you know, we'll have a long and serious discussion on the budget mandates and how we deal with that, including also raising the concerns with cabinet. So we also raised the concerns of continuous non-reporting, or where the targets that have been set were not met, we reported to cabinet. We then have an ability to able to consider our recommendations on the stool and say whether they support those recommendations or not. Honorable Chair, I hope that helps. And then I commit to those two things, on the training and on the 30-day payments, breakdowns of number of invoices and value.
Thank you very much. I think there is a proposal from Honorable Madopa that we must look into meeting the implementing agencies, in fact those that are working at municipalities. I think it's a proposal that I'll look into it at a management committee, but we'll need the department to indicate to us which are those municipalities, which provinces. If they happen to be in a particular province, we can then look whether we'll then go to them or bring them here or we go to them. So it's quite an important aspect. Even this, the extent of the deceased working in this program, beneficiaries, the extent, their numbers, and the time it takes. But if it's just 1 month, maybe you will say, because people do die, if you are, it doesn't mean when you work in this program, you won't die. So we'll accept that these are the people that were working there, and they happened to die. And then it didn't take quicker for them to be replaced, you see. But if the reporting of their death would take more than 5 months, then that would be a problem. So we must understand the extent of these dead people working in this program, how far. But I must say, in South Africa, there's a bit of a problem of people that are alive and kicking who are reported dead. In my office, there are people who were disqualified from the SASA, their children and themselves, because they were told they are dead. When they went to report to Home Affairs and SASA offices, they were convinced they must accept that they are dead. I'm still trying to convince Home Affairs officials and the Welfare Department officials that these people are not dead. I've met them. They are even young. They have children. Now they have disqualified them. So I think there's things that are wrong in South Africa that our officials, your colleagues, are doing, which were the duty to expose. Because you only find that it's corruption. They are disqualified because somebody is claiming an insurance and he has a link with one official in the Home Affairs, another official in the Welfare Department. So we have a duty to fight this. We must fight for the poor people. Please, let's fight for the poor people. Yeah. You know, this thing that you are saying of other contractors don't have capacity. Now, we have come across contractors that are already grade 9, that are well capacitated. But because some officials would prefer friends, they exclude these ones. Well capacitated. They are not paid, but the friends are paid quicker. So it's not a matter of capacity. No.
is like engineers who have qualified degrees, but the construction companies don't give them exposure because they are from the black side. They don't give so these are the things we must work together to expose, because they are not helping South Africa. Those engineers must be assisted, and we must, your rules that you are making of including people from the, once you achieve, you know, it's difficult to be an engineer, but now once you achieve, you are making, you are made a person who sees the photocopy, and you guys keep quiet about it. How did they pass? So I think we have a duty to fight for these people who have tried, but now they are made to be, to close the business.
It's not fair.
There are people who are enjoying the whole South Africa, there are those who are not. We must fight for everybody, in particular those that have no connection. It can't be like we say, no, he has no capacity. I'm telling you, a contractor that put a clinic, it's top of the range. That contractor has capacity, but has no friends in top areas. That's why they are not paid. So you must check those things.
Okay.
And that's corruption. You must expose, because they are not helping South Africa. So we are here for the poor. We represent everybody. When the rich guys make our exclusion a norm, we must refuse. We expect, we are inviting you, Auditor General, DPMG, please, let's defend the poor. Let's expose. If the rich guys are doing things, let's not justify them. No. Just a minor collusion. It's not corruption. It's a minor collusion. No, let's not justify matter. So, Dr. Madoba, I almost want to close, because the things were arranged for 1 o'clock.
One is what transpired in the auditor's report, where they indicated that CIDB does not have CFO. CFO position is not filled as CEO. It's a indication for a challenge in the financial audit. So I think it's thing that we need to raise, and it must reflect that we are having a serious concern about this. This thing of change of political principles, and then the work is not done, it's really not assisting us. So it's something that we need. And lastly, Chair, is around the issue of the consequence management, as it was raised. I want to check, because in this committee I have been in and out, because I've been serving in appropriation. I want to check, does Department of Public Works have performance contracts for their top management that will allow us or allow you to have that consequence management? Because you'll find that you can't discipline a person if there is no performance contract. Where do you base your blame if there is no performance contract? Maybe because the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation also was assisting them to come up with the performance contract the last hour was cut on the committee. Maybe they can update us whether they do have, because this thing that we are saying, we are dealing with this thing of performance, consequence management and so on. If they don't have performance contract, we are going to be bound one.
Let's check that, Rudy.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Lopez, I know that we have a performance agreement with the Minister. I'm unable to say at what level are the performance agreements right now between DG and the rest of the senior management staff. Again, I'll report on that based on the impact evaluations that we've done also. So I can provide that information also at the later stage around whether there are performance agreements for all senior management in DPW and also the entities.
Oh, you'll report on that.
Honorable Chair, I also wanted to report on, so it's three things now, right? So we've got it noted on. And then the last thing I think that Honorable Adams had asked our comments on the turnaround strategy. Now, we've made some comments during the reports that are provided updating on the turnaround strategy. We have done that on a regular basis. I think they do it annually when they report to Cabinet. We could consolidate those comments and concerns that we've raised on the turnaround strategy also and provide that information to the Portfolio Committee as well.
Thank you very much. Mr. Honorable Adams, Freddy.
No, I'm just worried that like we are going all over the place. We should keep in mind as members of Parliament our role and duties as well. I think an oversight from our side was not to have top management of Parliament here today, so that we could have got closer when we meet with them next week. I be that as it may, Chair, I think, let me rather leave for our protection. No, thanks.
Now, at least Freddy has spoken, so we have heard you. Thank you very much. We appreciate your coming. We hope you benefited also meeting with the members. Their work is to ask questions, also critique. So we hope you will take it in that spirit that we are building you as well. Thank you very much. This meeting is closed. I'm told we are prepared upstairs, so we'll have something upstairs. So you are all invited. Thank you very much.